Right, the government are in turmoil, as you well know. And I'm looking here, there's a story where the Fine Gael TD, senior Fine Gael TD, by the way, Michael Ring, has called the incoming party leader, Simon Harris, to abandon the government's hate speech legislation and ditch plans for the late night sale of alcohol. He said that they're left-wing policies. Michael Ring, a former minister, said the Fine Gael have been too left for too long and warned the incoming party that they will pay a big price at the next election unless they return to the traditional values. In other words, become conservative again. He told RTE's This Week's programme that Mr Harris had a very difficult job ahead and should do what Enda Kenny did and travel around the country and talk to organisations at grassroots level. He said, we're not a left-wing party, we are a centre party, and Fine Gael has to move back to the centre again and move more to the right. Fine Gael said they don't agree with Mr Michael Ring and will continue to focus on the proposed hate speech laws. But do we need hate speech laws? Let me know what you think. The number is 085-122-55. Do we need laws to protect minorities or characteristics or groups from being offended or upset? Because that's really what it is, isn't it? To stop them being feeling hurt. Do we need laws like that? Because who's going to interpret those laws? The problem is there is no interpretation or no definitive interpretation of the word hate. And the Minister for Justice has said she would leave that up to the courts to decide. But that's a problem, because then how do we decide, or how do we let a guard arrest somebody? So the guards have to arrest somebody under the hate speech laws, or they have to quote you the law and say, I'm arresting you under section whatever it is of the Hate Speech Act. And they will arrest you under those laws, because they will decide whether they're going to believe they're going to send it to the DPP. But how do they do that? We had a case in the United Kingdom, for example, where a young girl of 16 years of age who had said derogatory things about lesbians was arrested, pulled out of her home, and arrested and charged under the Non-Fatal Offences Against a Person Act in the UK, which is a kind of similar thing. It turned out the arresting officer was a lesbian. So, in other words, the guards could use those laws based on their own, I suppose, ideologies, their own thoughts, their own views, their own opinions, whereas another guard might not think it's hate speech. So one person's hate speech is just another person's insult, isn't it? So let me know what you think. Do we need laws around speech? Should there be any laws at all, any censorship on speech? Now listen, I'm completely against all censorship on speech, but there is a caveat in there. You must be responsible for what you say. So in other words, if you say things that upset people, you must be able, willing to take the consequences of that. Now, I am going to go to Billy in a second, but I do want to go to Stephen first. Stephen has put in a petition to the Oireachtas, and he joins me. Stephen, hi, how are you?
Good morning, Eilean. Good morning, everyone.
I didn't get a chance, Stephen, to read your full Substack that you put up, but it's very interesting and very well written, can I point out, by the way. And it's called, if we want to look it up, if the doll falls, the bill falls with it, Senator Gerard P. Crogwell. The following is a petition by Stephen Delaney from Kilkenny. And if people want to read it, they can have a look at it there. But explain briefly what you said and what the Oireachtas discussed.
Perfect. So essentially, this started a long while back, Niall. I'm not sure, do you remember, there was a build-up of anti-hate speech bill protests in the end of the summer of last year.
Yeah.
You might remember the famous gallows incident. Mm. So around that time, there was a huge campaign on to stop this bill. And part of that campaign was a petition. And it wasn't just me that ran this petition. It was a petition ran by, I suppose, a loosely collected group of people.
This is the one you handed to the president with a picture of yourself and your daughter. That's right, I remember that.
That's correct. So we got 10,000 signatures. It's since got more than that, but the petition that we handed in, when we hit the 10,000 mark, we fully believed they were trying to ram it through at that point. And I believe they were trying to ram it through back then. And we kind of acted on what we felt was a time-sensitive issue. And we didn't see any hope for the Shannon introducing, let's say, a total blockade on this. As some people might know, once it passes the Dáil stages, it's effectively passed. The Shannon can't really stop it. They can suggest amendments, send it back to the Dáil, and the Dáil will either pass or refuse it. And that's all covered in the... Senator Crowell actually went through that in the video on the Oireachtas committee, which happened on the 21st, just gone there, 21st, where the petition was heard. Mm-hmm. So as I said, Niall, you know, we were worried about a time-sensitive issue. We didn't see any hope within the establishment at that point for any dissenting voices. So our decision was, screw this, put it to the Supreme Court, because we have lost all hope in the establishment. Now, since then, figureheads like McDougall, Crowell, Senator Roland Mullins, Sharon Keoghan, lots of other people.
And now Michael Ring has just thrown his hat in the ring there, literally. Yes,
and not just him. The grassroots membership of Sinn Féin, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, including the Fine Gael youth wing, who actually came out openly with a statement against the hate speech bill. And hats off to all those individuals who have actually tried to resist this within the pressures of their own party, although I still feel that they haven't done enough. You know, all of that is actually happening at the minute. So the people who support this bill in our Dáil, in our Shannon, they're very small in number, but they hold a lot of power. They you know, they have the party whips, they have everything else. And realistically, this bill is now on its last legs, but it can still get through. And it looks likely that the strategy now is to get it through with amendments. Now, if you go back and look at the Shannon, the Oireachtas committee meeting, where Richard O'Donoghue, Jerry Crowell and Pat Buckley explained that it has to go through a round of amendments and that's the path we should follow. They also said that the Supreme Court path would be the most dangerous. I disagree with both points. I agree with one, disagree with the other.
Do you agree with any part of the law, Stephen? Or do you believe the laws, the existing laws of 1989, although they could be updated somewhat, the incitement to hatred laws, do you believe they're adequate?
I think they are adequate, but here's the caveat, Niall. If the government can pass legislation, let's say passing speech laws, then the constitution doesn't matter. They're effectively bypassing a guaranteed right of free speech.
We don't have a guaranteed right of free speech in the constitution. We have a guaranteed right of freedom of expression. It's slightly different, isn't it?
No, it isn't. So free speech is actually considered part of a wider branch of what is known as expression. Mm-hmm. Speech is a form of expression.
I know. What I'm saying to you is, it's not like America, the First Amendment. You know, it's not quite the same. There is no America obviously have a guarantee of free speech, you know, and they use it to the best of their ability. But in saying do you believe in any type of censorship whatsoever, Stephen? Or do you think all censorship is off the table as far as you're concerned?
Well, like where children are concerned, you absolutely have to have age-appropriate content.
Yes.
That's a form of censorship. Where someone, let's say, kicks your door in, points at you and says they're going to kill you, that's a threat to murder. These things are already covered under the existing Incitement to Hatred Act. So it's not like people are out there being ridiculous about free speech. But just to come back to what you said about we don't have free speech, we do have free speech guaranteed, Niall. At the European level, freedom of expression is defined as including freedom of speech. But this is the type of, let's say, trivialization of words that we're battling against at the minute from the woke lobby. They are trivializing our constitution to make us think that things aren't there that are there.
I mean, they just brought in legislation, as you know, in Scotland, and that legislation is enacted on the 1st of April, ironically enough, April Fool's Day. And of course, the big story in Scotland at the moment is that J.K. Rowling, who has written numerous tweets misgendering India Willoughby, unless she removes those tweets, which she's been asked to do, she could possibly be the first person to be prosecuted under the law. Not that she cares. She has said that she will not be removing the tweets. As far as she's concerned, India Willoughby is a man, and she's quite entitled to say that.
Yeah.
Now, I know that's where this hate speech bill came from, because if we go back in time 3 years, that's where this all came about. It came about through misgendering, it came about through pronouns, and it came about through the LGBTQ community. That's where it originally originated. It was this idea of protecting characteristics. Now, I will say to people, you shouldn't be abusing people online, you know, if that's your thing. I don't think you should be doing something like that. But should we have a law against it is the question.
Well, we do have laws that protect people from types of speech. So harassment laws already exist. Stalking, repeated harassment.
Targeting somebody, yeah.
targeting repeated unwanted attention. So if somebody makes it clear that they want to disengage from you, from communicating with you, then there are laws that, that are there to protect you. But these laws will guarantee that somebody can forcefully communicate with you and force you to communicate with them as they see fit, because they are part of protected classes of society. So this is absolutely, you know, straight from George Orwell. It's straight from some of the most craziest ideas from what used to be known as science fiction or fictionary tales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Black Mirror type stuff. And these types of laws are now being rolled out across the world. And the incentives for rolling out these laws are, of course, positions in these institutions, such as the European Union, commissions even higher than that again. And the trouble we have here in Ireland is our way of life, regardless of constitutions and laws and anything else, our way of life has always been that we are an outspoken people, that we are, we have a turn of phrase, we have, euphemisms, we have all sorts of playful uses of language here in Ireland, including in the very extreme end of obscene and offensive and everything else. That's how we are.
Okay, but do me a favour, Stephen, stay there, because I want to keep you here just for a second if I can. And I need to go to Billy, Stephen and Maureen as well. Billy, hi, how are you? Very interesting, and I have to say, if you want to go on to Substack, I'll post up maybe later on Twitter a link to Stephen's Substack. It's very interesting to read. It's very well written too, by the way. The hate speech laws, do you believe we need them? Do we need to even update the original 1989 Incitement to Hatred Act, or Incitement to Violence, should I say? Do we need to update them?
Just on that note, no, I don't think we need the hate speech laws. As you've already referenced, the 1989 Incitement to Hatred Act, just let me get the text of it here, but basically it was an act to prohibit incitement to hatred on account of race, religion, nationality, or sexual orientation. So that was what that act was.
Are you on a speakerphone there, Billy? If you could just pop us onto the phone, it'd be much better. Sorry.
Give me a second.
Okay. It sounds a bit echoey, that's all. Okay.
Not any better?
That's much better, yeah. So the original Incitement to Hatred Act, obviously you read out the wording of it there, so it does protect people already.
It protects across a broad spectrum. Now, does the act need updating? It probably does, because in 1989 social media did not exist. So you probably need to update it for the modern world that we live in. But I think it does cover most of the requirements that would be brought in.
When people say it needs updating, I, when you read out what you just read there, it doesn't sound like it needs any updating. I think it doesn't matter whether you write it in a newspaper or a piece of paper. It's irrelevant where you write it.
That's the headline. Yeah. That's the headline of the Act, Niall. Yeah. But, there's terminology within the Act, if you go through it, regarding publishing of material, how it's written, and different types of media and how the Act applies to different types of media.
Yeah, electronic media.
The only update I think it needs would be around the social media aspect, because social media did not exist at the time. If you think about that time,
what is incitement to hatred, Billy? Sorry,
just one second, just to finish. At the time when this act was brought in, there was very few media sources coming in from outside the jurisdiction. Now you've got a case, Twitter's based in the US, TikTok, I know there's headquarters in Ireland, but it's a Chinese company. You have a lot of international companies that are producing or hosting media that's being shown in Ireland, and that's why the act would probably need an update.
I'm curious to what incitement to hatred is, because there does seem to be a fine line around defining something, and I'm going to use examples, so please don't think I mean any of these things, right? But let's say I went onto Twitter tomorrow and said, I hate gay people, and I think everyone else should hate them too.
Right. I would be of the opinion that that's an opinion, Niall.
Is that an opinion or is that hatred?
It depends on the person's definition. But if you were to say, I would say an incitement to hatred would be, I hate all gay people, and this is me speaking not in reality. I hate all gay people, so you should go out and beat them up. That is incitement to hatred or incitement to violence.
Well, that's incitement. That's incitement to violence. That's not incitement to hatred. That's incitement to violence, which is already illegal under the Act, by the way.
Well, if you're publishing documentation that.
But the reason I said that, by the way, and I don't personally, by the way, I don't hate gay people. My best friend's
gay. Nor do I.
All right. So, and I know that's a bit cliche, but he is gay. Can I put it? So, but the reason I said that to you was because The difference between the two things that we've just said is incitement to hatred and incitement to violence. The second one, the example you gave, is incitement to violence. The first one is incitement to hatred, if you want to call it that, and could be defined by the law when the new laws come in, or if the new laws come in relation to that. And although I think it's a nasty, horrible thing to say, you know, I hate all gay people and I think everybody else should hate them too, I think that's a nasty, horrible thing to say. I don't believe it should be legal.
I can see why you would say that it shouldn't be legal. And look, I'm looking at the Act here now. There's plenty of examples, and I'd have to go through it. But the Act kind of calls out here, preparation and possession of material likely to stir up hatred is one of the definitions that it gives.
This is the new Act you're talking about? The new?
No, this is the existing Act.
Oh, the existing Act.
1989.
Just, it sounds pretty much like the one they're bringing in. It sounds just like a more diluted version of the one they're bringing in. So,
but the new one is probably a little bit more prescriptive and restrictive in the material that you can have, and also bringing in the elements around, you know, going back to the social media, if someone sends me a document on WhatsApp that is deemed to be hateful material, I am then in possession of that hateful material. And I haven't read the new Act in depth, but from the stuff that's going around about it, if the guards are able to search me and search my electronic devices and that digital footprint remains, then I am in possession of this material because
Well, that's crazy, isn't it? Even if you never intended to send it to anybody, just because you're in possession of it. That's crazy. The minister gave an example of this. She gave a very good example, actually. She said, if you're on the way to a protest, let's say an immigrant protest, and in the boot of your car, you have a poster that says, you know, all immigrants, I don't know, should die or something mental like that, right? Something that would be horrible, right? And you have that in the boot of your car. Now, they don't even know, the guards don't even know you're going to the protest. They don't know where you're going. But if they search your car and you have that, even though you may not have used it, now it is a horrible thing to have, but even though you may not have used it, under the Act, you're still likely to be prosecuted. Now, don't get me wrong, the person who does that is a horrible person, but I don't think that should be illegal. I think we have to draw the line somewhere on legality and what should and shouldn't be legal. At the moment, by the way, you raise that, or the moment you go to a protest with that, I think certainly that should be confiscated.
I would say if you've got one of those in the back of your car, fair enough. If you've got 100 or 200 of them, you're getting into an area there where you could be deemed to be preparing to incite hatred.
Stay there, Stephen and Billy. I just want to bring the other Stephen in here if I can, because we spoke to him last week and he wanted to come back on and talk to us. We didn't get a chance. We meant to talk about hate speech last night. Then we got sidetracked, unfortunately, with Leo's resignation. Stephen, hi, how are you?
Grand, thank you.
Stephen, okay, it looks like the proposed bill is probably going to go through, although Michael Ring TD has now said to Fine Gael you should drop this and go back to being centrist party, not a lefty party.
It's not leftist to be against hate speech and incitement of violence. It's, I think, a fairly centre progressive thing that anybody could see as a good idea. The examples that you're giving, by the way, you know,
they're extreme.
Here's the thing. If you're going with a placard in the back of your car or whatever it is, or rolled up in a bag or whatever it is, you know, if the guard sees it, they're entitled to ask you what you want to do with it. And if they decide to caution you for it, great. If they decide to arrest you for it, that's their choice as well. If they send something to the DPP and the DPP decides to take it to court, then you're going to court. If it doesn't get that far, then it doesn't get that far and you just get off with the caution. It's the same as carrying a knife, to be fair. It's the same judgment that would have to be made. You'd have to explain why you have that. And now, obviously, the levels of risk from carrying a placard and carrying a knife are let's say
I had an offensive poster hanging on my bedroom wall. You know, an offensive, about trans people, gay people, black people, whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I had an offensive poster hanging on the bedroom of my wall. And somebody seen it one day, they were in my bedroom for whatever reason, or in my house one day and seen it. And they went off to the guards and said, not going to believe what he has on the wall of his house. Do you believe I should be arrested for that?
I think if the person reporting it explained it to the guard in a way that it convinces the guard enough to go and get a search warrant from a judge and then come and question you about it, look at said poster, then that's the normal course of duty. at the end of the day. Whether the guard does anything about it.
No, but I'm asking you, do you believe... forget about the guard for the moment, but do you believe that I should be prosecuted for having a poster in my house?
You're jumping a couple of steps.
Okay, no,
If I saw a nasty flag on your wall and I thought, God, that makes me feel a little uncomfortable, I might go and say something about that, then that's me doing what I feel like I need to do. Whether the guard decides to do anything about it after that is up to the guard. And if the guard decides to go and get a search warrant from a judge and can convince a judge to grant the search warrant so that the guard can go and look at the poster and go, why do you have that? What do you think about that? Why, you know, is it just ornamental or is this, you know, like the Nazi room in Father Ted, you know, and it's a little bit more than that. You know,
and okay. Let me get back to hate speech if I can. You've been talking, listen to Billy there. And he said the current laws are fine as they are, as far as he's concerned. The current laws, I've covered everything. We've had 50 people arrested in the last 20, 30 years. And by the way, in relation to the riots back in November,
we've only had 5 successful prosecutions, by the way, out of 50 arrests.
Okay, well, maybe that's a sign that society gets on with each other. Okay, anyway, but we've had, well, I wouldn't think so, not at the moment. Anyway, we had the riots back in November. The Garda Síochána used the existing law to arrest people already in relation to those riots who had put stuff up on social media. So if the Garda Síochána used the existing law to arrest people who put stuff up on social media, like everybody going to town and burn the gaff down, well, then surely that means that the existing law is adequate to deal with those situations.
Yeah, but you telling somebody to go in and loot Arnott's or whatever it is or set fire to a Garda car is not incitement to hatred, it's incitement to violence.
Yes.
But the
but why are we making hate? Hate is an emotion, Stephen. I could turn around and say, I hate you.
Hate is not defined in the 1989 Act.
But there should not be no law against hating things. Yeah, but there should be no law. If I want to hate you, I don't hate you, by the way, Stephen. I actually like you a lot. But if I want to hate you, I can hate you. There's no laws. Just like I can like you. You know what I mean? It's just an emotion.
But the difference. Yeah, but the difference hang on a second, I just have one point to make on it, because it is important. Maybe there shouldn't be a law against hating somebody. We should all go around hand in hand skipping and, you know, things like that. And, you know, but here's the thing. The hate, it's not so much the hate that you have. It is what the hate that you have causes you to do and say. That is why we have the 89 Act, and that is why we're updating the 89 Act with this Act.
Okay, but before I let Billy respond to that, just quickly, Stephen, before I let Billy respond to that, under the legislation similar, which is coming in Scotland, it's very much the same, although there are parts of it that are slightly different. And the legislation in Scotland on April the 1st, there's a possibility that J.K. Rowling could be the first people charged with incitement to hatred because of India Willoughby, because constantly just keeps calling him a man all the time, and misgendering. Mm. Do you believe misgendering somebody in that fashion, in that tone, not by mistake, but intentionally, do you believe that should be a prosecutable offence?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, Billy, go ahead.
No,
you said that's fine. That's fine. You said yeah. Go ahead, Billy.
So now I was going to say, Stephen, like, what's his definition of hatred? But I'm just after looking one up here. So hatred is very simply defined as an intense dislike or hate. But like, how can you judge if someone has an intense dislike or hate for someone? What's your, you know, what's your burden of proof there? It's something that someone feels.
It's their speech and their action, and the result of the speech and action towards you. You said it yourself. This is judged by the person on the receiving end of it, and or the arms of the state and the law that have to judge whether or not it is born out of hate. If you're dead naming me or misgendering me or making fun of me because I'm gay or asexual or whatever it is, if you're constantly doing that and you're not, whether you encourage other people to do it or not, that is an act of hatred born out of the hatred that you have towards me.
But what I'm saying is, Stephen,
the fact that you're doing it encourages other people to do it.
Stephen, can I respond to you?
Yeah, go ahead, Billy.
Okay, so I was just saying, Stephen, that you said that there's been 50 arrests since 1989, 5 successful prosecutions. Is it a case that there's been only 5? Mm. That there's only been 5 successful prosecutions because the burden of proof required to show that someone has a hate for someone else is too high, because the definition of hatred is so loose.
You just said it's an intense feeling of
How do you prove beyond a reasonable doubt that someone feels a certain way? How can a jury or anyone else prove that?
Well, that's what I'm just, if you'd allow me to answer. We'll take JK, for example. Much as I love talking about her in inverted commas. She has a visible tracking of history throughout her Twitter feed, articles, news interviews, etc. of her dislike of trans people, her intense dislike of trans people, consistent, deliberate dead naming and misgendering, encouraging of threats and violence towards trans people.
I don't know if she's encouraged threats or violence. I don't think she's encouraged violence. That's wrong, Stephen.
Hang on. If all of that goes to court, the DPP decides they want to take her to court, all of that evidence then gets presented in the dock. It's up to you, me, and everybody else in the jury to decide whether, you know, she hates trans people and should serve some kind of a punishment for it because of her actions and the actions inspired by her content. That's just how the legal system works. I can't believe that we're so hung up and confused about how this is actually going to work when it works the exact same as every other piece of legislation in this country.
But the problem with it is, and I mentioned at the start of the show there, that there was a case in England where a 16-year-old girl was dragged out of her house because she had put online something about lesbians. And the arresting officer arrested her. She was brought in the United Kingdom. In England, you would be charged with the non-fatal offences against a person act or whatever it is, which is the same thing. And she was charged and she got a caution in the end. But it then turned out that the arresting officer was a lesbian. Do you understand the point?
So you
think
there's a conflict of interest there?
Of course, because the point I'm making is, if we're not defining it, if something is not defined and we're leaving it open to a guard to make a decision as to whether somebody should be charged or not charged, well then we're in a situation where people can use their own bias. You know, another guard probably wouldn't give a shite. Do you know what I mean?
Can I stop for a second? I'm actually on your side on this one, believe it or not, Stephen.
By all means.
What I was going to say is now, before this charge makes it to a judge, it goes through the equivalent of a director of public prosecution.
The CPP.
It goes through various different levels of prosecution. So, you know, it's not the guards that recommends the charge.
I did give you the end result was she got a caution. So that means it didn't have to go to the CPP, right? But she did get a caution, and that does go down in your record. So it's the same in Ireland, by the way. If you don't want to go to the Director of Public Prosecution, the sergeant in the Garda station can give you a caution. All right? But that's still on your record.
But if she has a problem with the guard being a lesbian that arrested her, she should take the guard through the ombudsman or the courts or whatever way their system works. If she feels so...
No. The only reason I mentioned it was that we're leaving... When we don't define something, we leave it open to interpretation. Like, if I put something up on Twitter that you took offence to and you felt it was hatred, I could be charged. I might never be found guilty, by the way, but I'll spend a year of my life wondering, am I going through the courts? Do you know what I mean?
Hmm.
And that's, you know, dangerous.
But this is the... Yeah, but this is...
By the way, I don't believe misgendering should be illegal, by the way. Can I point out?
This is the responsibility you invite upon yourself by using the words that you use. The same way as I invite responsibility for the words that I use. Just going back to your example, to give you an example of Gardaí interpreting the law. Your man walking up and down Grafton Street with his placard. Or, more recently, that happened to my dad. Dad ran a red light. Knew that he ran a red light. There was a guard behind him. Guard pulled him over. Said, you know what you did? Yes, guard. Why did you do this? Because it wasn't safe for me to stop. The guard couldn't really answer him or disagree with him or whatever way it was. So the guard let him off. He interpreted the law and decided that that it was more hassle to try and...
Yes, I get you. Cite my dad for the law.
He could easily have turned around and, you know, thrown the book at him and arrested him and left us at the side of the road. You know, you could do that.
But then what you're kind of saying to me in another way is in relation to this particular law, it could also be used as a weapon. And the problem is many, you know, great speakers around the world have referred to this legislation as Orwellian, right? And they've said the problem with the legislation is it creates a chilling effect in conversation and debate. Now, I personally disagree with you, Stephen, by the way. If I want to misgender somebody, I believe I should be allowed to. And I don't accept, you know, well, look, if somebody wants to believe they're a woman, that's fine. That's their business. But I don't believe it. And I'm fine. I'm okay with that. And we should all respect each other, by the way. And I respect that they believe they're a woman. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't be forced by any law.
You have a moral duty to respect them.
But yeah.
A moral duty.
No. Hang on. But I don't believe I should be compelled by the law to refer to them as a woman. Because I don't believe they're a woman.
The current hate speech law and the new hate speech law don't compel you to say or do anything.
And that's what the Minister of Justice says. I don't believe her. Okay, stay there for a second, if you can, Stephen. Let me just go to Maureen. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good, Maureen. Do you agree with the new hate speech law? Well, when I say do you agree with the new hate, of course you don't, Maureen. But do you believe there should be any laws around speech whatsoever?
No, I don't, Niall. And I'll begin with a very good quote from Benjamin Franklin. And this quote is, whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing freedom of speech. He sums it up perfectly well. All this came about, as we know. This hasn't come from governments as such. They couldn't give a rat's ass what we say to each other, online or outside, in speech. This came from a political movement, a political agenda, by a minority, who now demand that the rest of us bow down to them by insisting we call them. Say, for example, I'm in a toilet and this is what will happen. A man walks in. I know this is a man in a dress and a wig and makeup and all the rest of it. And I say to him, you have no business in here. This is a lady's toilet. Oh, but I'm a woman. I turn around and say, no, you're not. You're a man. Who's going to be at fault? It's going to be me. I'm at fault, not him. This is where all this is going. How can you have a bill or a law when you cannot define what the law is? Freedom of speech is opinion. Freedom of speech is actually the foundation of any democracy. But as I have seen, and a lot of people have seen for quite a number of years, democracy packed its bags a long time ago. As far as I can see, we don't even live in a republic anymore.
Hang on, Maureen, for a second. When it comes to freedom of speech, I completely agree. I think it should be absolute. And that's where I would disagree with Stephen. But there's a caveat in there. You must have responsibility for what you say. You're free to say it, but there must be a level of responsibility. Firstly, we have the Defamation Act. So if you defame somebody, obviously you can be in trouble civilly.
But that's different. You see, defamation.
Then you have harassment. Which is targeted harassment on an individual. You know, there's laws already against that. You know what I mean? You have incitement to violence. If you incite violence, be it online or anywhere else, that there's also laws against that, existing laws against that as well. So there are restrictions to your speech already. When I say restrictions, common sense restrictions to your speech that you must be responsible for what you say. Nobody's stopping you from saying it, but you have to be responsible.
Yes, but in what way must you be responsible? As you gave some good examples yourself. Mm. You should be quite at liberty to say, I hate this one, or I hate that, or I hate what they stand for. That's an opinion. All is an opinion. If you turn around and someone says to me, I'm going to murder you, I'm going to blow up your house, I don't know if they mean it or not, do I? And then as far as harassment is concerned, there's been umpteen cases.
It is illegal already, by the way. If somebody says, I'm going to blow up your house, it's already illegal.
But hang on a minute. There's been umpteen cases, and we've seen it, of harassment, and where people have been harassed. And if you go to the guards, the very thing they'll say to you is, well, we can't do anything unless they do anything. That happens, and it has happened. Mm. It's a load of nonsense. It's a political agenda that a certain group of people want to implement to shut the rest of us up. Its governments want to shut us up so we can say nothing about them and they can run willy-nilly and destroy the country further while they're at it.
I mean, just on that note, Maureen makes a really good point, Stephen. A little while ago, I went to the Garda Síochána, going back a couple of years ago, and only again there recently I had another threat from an individual in radio. A guy, you know, had sent in texts to the radio station saying he wanted to put a gun to the back of my head and blow my brains out. And he wants to rape the producer. And we went to the guards about that, and that was exactly what happened, what Maureen said. The guards, unless they've actually done something, there's not a lot we can really do about it, right?
Yes, and they do to this day.
Now, here's the thing. Now, I'm not a protected characteristic. I don't think a radio presenter is a protected characteristic. But if these hate speech laws comes in, I don't think that's going to leave me any better off in that situation. But yet, it leaves you better off, Stephen, as a gay man, that if somebody said something about you, for example, that isn't even that violent, you know, that happened to me, you get better protection than I do. There's a bit of discrimination in that, isn't there, really?
It doesn't make you any worse either. It also doesn't stop you having conversations like this. The current law and the new law don't stop any kind of conversations around these kinds of things. So we can all have those kinds of conversations. Arguably, because of the historical persecution of the gay male community particularly, this is the pendulum reaction to try and offer a little bit more specific protection towards the gay male population, for example, and the trans population, or whatever, the traveller population, the unvetted males that are coming in as well. You know, all of these people should have some level of a protection above and beyond the average citizen.
Why?
Because
why?
No.
Hang on. If I beat you up tomorrow, Stephen, it doesn't matter whether I'm beating you up because it doesn't matter whether I'm beating you up because you're gay or just because I want to beat you up. It's completely irrelevant. It's still assault. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, it doesn't matter why I bet you up. It's irrelevant.
Well, I would argue.
Why should I be treated differently? That means that you're a special case.
I agree with you. Assault is assault at the end of the day. But if that assault has an influential factor that is born out of a hatred of me being gay, that is a contributing factor.
That means then you're some sort of special citizen, and because of that, I get longer in jail. And that was a suggestion with the new legislation as well, for example, with the incitement to violence.
Up to 5 years on top of whatever you get.
I completely disagree with that. I disagree with it. So the two of us are walking down the road.
I'm not inclined to agree with it either.
Yeah, the two of us are walking down the road and you get beaten up and I get beaten up, and as they're beating you up, they call you names because you're gay, and that guy gets an extra 5 years. So you're a special case. I completely disagree with that. The people who get done for such are going to jail for 10 years in the first place anyway. They should all go to jail for a decent amount of time.
But you logging that threat of assault is you creating a file with the Gardaí. The Gardaí can then refer back to it. If it's the same person on a continuous basis, that amounts to harassment. So the case gets better and better.
Do you not think it should be illegal in the first place to text somebody and say, I'm going to blow your head, blow your brains out and rape your producer?
You just said that everyone has a right to say whatever they want to say. They are responsible. Hold on.
If I send you a personal text, Stephen, and say, I'm going to kill you, that's a direct threat.
Yeah.
I should go to jail for that.
Carry it out or not. Whether you mean to carry it out or not. So then, yes, there's no such thing as an absolute protection of free speech, as you've already made painfully clear, you know, several times to several different callers. So yeah, if I go to the guards and the guards consider it a due thing to go and investigate, and or go to the DPP or to a judge to get a search warrant, et cetera, then the system kicks into place, and eventually, potentially, you get hauled in front of a judge.
Stay there for a second. Let me go to Natalie. She's waiting ages. Natalie, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall, how's things?
Good. Natalie, do you agree? Do we need any legislation around speech, or are you happy enough the way things are?
Oh, I think it's dangerous territory and it's a slippery slope. And I completely agree with what Margaret has said. Like,
Maureen, you mean?
You know, Yeah. Maureen. Yeah, you can't restrict people's right to opinion, to speech. Like, how do you police an emotion? You can't, you know, and it kind of rings bells with the referendum that they tried to push through, the durable relationship. There was no definition of that. Oh, we'll leave it up to
judges. The courts.
You know, and then again, it's all going to depend on the judge and what their personal opinions or, you know, preferences or religious beliefs, etc. So that's not a way to instill a legislation or a law. Like, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's vague. You know, like, someone's going to be, discriminated against.
But here's the thing. I'm not defending the minister because I think she's useless. But how do you define the word hate? How do you actually define it? You can't really, can you?
You cannot define, like, what is love? If you go and you ask 10, 20, 50 different people, they may all have a different version of what their opinion of what it is, you know, and their own personal experience. For example, you know, say I'm a, you know, very devout Catholic, and, you know, I have a different opinion of what hate is based on my Catholic religion. Then you could have John up the road, who's transgender. He is going to have a very different opinion of what hate speech is and what hate is. It's absolutely up to each individual. I think the main thing is just people shouldn't be arseholes to each other, you know.
Yes.
But I think what's happened is this wokeism has been shoved down people's throats, that it has actually caused huge extremes of responses and emotions amongst people. So it does come across like frustration and hatred because the government are refusing to listen to the public and they're going off with their own woke agenda, which doesn't align with the majority of the public. They're, you know, they're not being listened to. So you have, you know, branches of groups of people going off doing extreme things like burning buildings down, which I don't think anyone would agree with. But then you've got Take others care. That are, you know, doing rallies and whatever it is, putting out posters and setting up Facebook groups and whatever it is to try and, you know, I suppose, rally the troops, you know, to put it in another way, you know, but mm-hmm. the government still will not listen. And we saw the results of the Red Sea poll again, you know, we'll ignore that. So what do people do then? You know, mm-hmm. and then that could be interpreted as hate.
Yeah, I mean, this is the point I'm trying to make to Stephen, that everything can be really interpreted as hate. It depends on who's interpreting it. And the problem is, I don't want to see anybody being prosecuted. And okay, the judge might decide in a year's time, or a jury, it wouldn't be a jury, I imagine it was just a judge. The judge would decide, you know, in a year's time when you eventually get into court, it could take 2 years to get into court in this country for a prosecution, you know, that you're not actually guilty of anything. But that 2 years of your life, you've had this sitting over your head.
Exactly, and it's a waste of resources. It's, you know, we don't have enough police as it is. We, you know, the amount of resources that are going to get, you know, to deal with something like this, all because someone is butthurt over being, you know, mispronounced or whatever it is.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So then, where do you draw the line there as well? Like, so if you're a Catholic,
Stephen has said, and he quoted the minister, because the minister turned around and she was asked, would J.K. Rowling come under the legislation? And she said no. But in the same breath, the minister is saying she can't define it and it'd be up to a judge. So I don't believe the minister can say no. And Stephen, this is the point. The minister says misgendering, for example, will not be prosecutable under the law. How does she know that? Because she's just told us that she hasn't defined the law and it's up to a judge. So she doesn't know that. She can't give that guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
No, and maybe if somebody is deliberately misgendering me consistently in public spaces, I'd take it under harassment law instead of hate speech law. You know, it's because it's been raised several times, and I want to kind of just because I'm going to have to go off in about 5 minutes, I have to get back to work. Can anyone define woke for me? Because it's a nice little buzzword for you, but it means fuck all.
So far right extremist, all of this kind of nonsense that's thrown. Do you know what I mean? It's far left, far right.
I agree
right.
with
We're
you.
All labels,
But I'm not going to make fun of you for being Catholic. I'm not going to, you know, espouse anti-Catholic hate against you. And I'm not going to encourage
nobody's making fun of you for being gay or no one's making fun of anyone being trans.
Hang on a second. There are plenty of people making fun of me being gay. I have plenty of examples of it on my Twitter feed, okay? I was deliberately doxxed because of it. So there are plenty of people making fun of me.
Yeah, and by the way, can I just say, Stephen, I did actually see that. And I have to say, I thought what people were saying at that particular time, I don't want to go into it, was really unfair and wrong. You know?
Yeah, but do you know what? I think this is worse than everything, though. Like, there's always been those kind of undercurrents in society. But I think it's been brought to the extremes of such now. Because of it's in our faces 24/7, this kind of, I'm going to say it again, wokeism, you know, this kind of, you know,
Define it for me, if you possibly can.
It's this kind of absolute kind of, you must bow down to everyone's kind of, what they believe is their truth.
I'm not demanding anyone bow down
Okay, according to the dictionary, by the way, the definition of woke is aware of and actively attentive to important societal facts and issues, especially issues of racial and social justice.
Now, Stephen, we all know. This country seeking asylum should be housed and looked after. The homeless Irish people should be housed and looked after. Women on social welfare should have better money so that they can live a better life, that every child deserves a hot meal and free education, that anybody who is a member of the travelling community should not face unfair stigma when they want to go to an event or a venue or something
And by the way, I agree with nearly all of what you're saying, right? But the point is, you know as well as I do what wokeism is. Wokeism is that to the extreme. It's people who agree with stuff just for the sake of agreeing with it, and it's social justice to the extreme. That's generally
it's like whatever's in popular culture, whatever the mainstream media are peddling. Oh, I'm on a board for that, and to the extreme of not even questioning it. You know what I mean? Like,
I just find people who are woke just don't critically think. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it. They're just the incapability of critically thinking through something and just, this is my opinion because RTE News tells me this is what I should think about immigration. And, you know, like my friend was out protesting in town for this new referendum. She was protesting and pushing the no vote. And women were going by going, oh, that's hate speech. It's not. But again, people are just rabbiting this kind of, oh, you're
people
right.
People are entitled to their opinion.
Oh, they are.
Am I woke? Am I woke? Given all of the things that I've been saying, am I woke?
I wouldn't believe that you're woke, no.
Ah, stop out that. Sorry, Stephen.
By everything that I've said, I am woke, in inverted commas.
Stephen, you are the definition of woke. You are the definition of woke.
Can I get my picture in the Merriam-Webster next to it? Like, definition of woke.
Picture of Stephen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stephen, I know you have to go. Listen, thanks very much for joining us. I appreciate it. Okay.
I'll see you,
Stephen. Bye bye. He is the definition of woke. Let me go to Sean. Sean, hi. How are you?
I have three very quick points, I suppose. The first one is this law I hear you talking about, the DPP and Garda Síochána taking you to court and proving it. The burden of proof is reversed. It's one of three areas in law in Ireland that will have the burden of proof on the opposite side. You'll have to prove that you didn't
intend
on disseminating the information. I think it's an important correction people aren't aware about. Second one, Jonathan Willoughby is a man. He does not hold a gender recognition cert. So by calling him a man, you are not misgendering him. He doesn't have a gender recognition cert. There's no reason for me to call him a woman. They're just two brief points. But my big issue with this is the democratic deficit. We have a whip system in this government, which means our politicians in Dáil Éireann are not representing the will and the view of the people that they know to exist in the electorate. We know this legislation is wildly unpopular. We have people like Minister Ring coming out TD Ring coming out in the last couple of days saying we need to bin this bill.
That's because he wants to get votes in the election. That's the only reason he's saying that now.
Why didn't he say that months ago? He's not going into Dáil and voting that way because whatever the three stooges at the top decide is happening in this country, it gets fed down into the government parties. They get told how to vote on every topic, not just hate.
Across
the board.
Yeah.
The whip system's engaged and laws like this are going through against the will of the vast majority of the people. And for me, the starting spot has to be standards in public office and the political system before we even go near a law like this, when it's been ratcheted through the system in haste and can't be stopped by the Senate at this stage, as much as the work of McDowell and Ronan Mullen and even Lisa Chambers from Fianna Fáil. I mean, she's there, she's in charge of the Senate. She's voting for it because the Fianna Fáil whip will make her. If she doesn't, she's out of a job. That's the starting point on all this. And unless we get the politics right, it'll be this law, it'll be the next law, it'll be the WHO treaty, which there should be a referendum on, and it'll just cascade on and on and on until we make the change.
Okay, so you're saying no to the bill. All right, listen, thanks for that, Sean. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit pushed for time today. Thank you, and I'm sorry for keeping everybody waiting so long. John, hi, how are you?
Afternoon, how are you?
John, are you saying bin the bill as well?
I think the bin will be put on hold and I think it might disappear maybe indefinitely. I think coming on the back...
You're very optimistic, aren't you?
Coming on the back of the disastrous referendums, which they're still hurting from, and we'll carry that hurt onto the local elections, the European and the general election, I think Michael Ring, coming out fairly strong. I think there's a lot more like him, I would say, within the party now. And
where was Michael? Hold on. Where was Michael Ring last year when everybody was talking about it? Where was he then? Why wasn't he saying that Fine Gael were lefties then? Why is he only saying it now? Because he wants to get it re-elected.
For the simple reason that they got better than the two referendums as well.
They're all coming out now and saying stuff just to get themselves re-elected, pretending they're for the people.
He's worried about the party.
Apart from the Labour Party. They're just delusional.
They're non-existent. Forget about
them. No, they're delusional. Did you see Ivana Bacic at the Labour Party conference today talking about comrades, rise up? comrades. That's right. Yeah. Isn't it like communism?
This is the same party that made children that were suffering from Down syndrome apply for a medical card again. This is that party. That party will disappear.
The Greens and Labour will be gone. Okay, but getting back to the bill anyway. Do you believe that free speech is an absolute, John? Should you now say what you want?
Well, you should be up to a point.
Can't defame people, obviously.
But if you do, you'll end up in court, and simple as that. I suppose, look, we either have free speech or we haven't. I mean, so if you say something, and if you end up standing in front of a judge, well, that's on you. You should have thought about it and how far it will go before you open the hole in your face. Simple as that. Mm. Now, the thing is that, it will affect all type of protests. I mean, if it did come in, it would affect talk shows. Maybe not yours, because I know you registered your show outside of the country and all that. But the one thing about it would affect the likes of Joe Duffy, the local lads here in Cork, the other regional stations. It will affect the print media. I mean,
I think it'll affect you, John, because there's been a lot of things that you've said over the years, and I've allowed you to say them, right? For example, you talk about pro-life and you talk about abortion being murder, for example, right? That's one example. And that's fine. I mean, I allow you to say that because that's your view, you're pro-life. But I can guarantee you with a hate speech bill, that could be all stopped.
Well, I stood in Blackpool Shopping Centre going back at by-election in Cork some years back. And Leo Varadkar was coming, and I was waiting there for him. And I unveiled my poster in front of a huge crowd around the place. And there was a picture of him, and it said, Leo Varadkar, pro-murderer of the unborn child, Nazi written over him, and a swastika left him.
I could envisage, you know, with a hate speech bill, that you could be prosecuted for something like that.
Yeah, well, if that had been in at the time, I would have been turned up in court. And I would bring that poster into court. Now, I'd probably be stopping it in, but I would say, you tell the judge, sir, to the guard, that I have evidence here why I ended up in court here today. And if you're not allowing me to bring that evidence in, well, that's on you. And I would stand in front of the judge and say, in my opinion...
I know, you've given your opinion already. You know, I know it's your opinion, but the judge will turn around and say that that's degrading, that's hate speech, you know, that's... And under the new legislation... You could be prosecuted. Okay, so you believe you should be allowed to do that? You should live in a free society where you should be allowed to do that? Okay.
You should, and look, if you cross the line, then, well, there's a court that to deal with that.
Okay, thanks for that, John. Let me go to Margaret. Margaret, hi. Sorry, I'm rushing everybody. I do feel sorry for everybody.
No, you're fine, Niall. How are you?
I just ran over time. I'm gone 20 minutes over time, but who cares, Margaret? Who cares? No,
short luck.
Life's too
short. The day that dinner's, as they say.
Yeah, Bernie's waiting patiently there as well. She's probably going to be giving out to me in a second. Yeah, you're going to give out to me too, Bernie, aren't you?
Oh, don't give out, Bernie.
Don't give out to me.
It's a Monday.
Okay, so Margaret, firstly, do you believe free speech is an absolute? Should everybody have the right to say what they want when they want?
I believe that you have the freedom to speak about whatever the topic may be. Mm. But there's a fine line between... making your point of view and then being verbally abusive and aggressive towards that, whatever the subject may be.
Yeah.
And I think, and I know the ministers keep going on and on and on about it, and other people in that have the airwaves have said it as well, and not necessarily you, Niall, and I'm not just saying that attitudes have changed since COVID.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't agree with that, because I think people were totally frustrated with a lot of things that had happened well before COVID, like the banks putting us into the red zone.
Yes, of course,
Certain things that happened with the government.
COVID was like the final nail in the coffin, really, wasn't it?
It is, yeah. And also doing things, and then we suffered because of their... bad decision making as well, you know. But also, last week in the Dáil, as you know, I watched it. It was done Thursday, and they were talking about emigration and the people living on the streets in Dublin, etc., etc., and then bringing them out to wherever it was in the countryside and, you know, putting them back in tents, putting the showers there and toilets there. And you'd want to hear the abuse across the Dáil, between two TDs.
Oh, I heard
and
it.
I sat back and I thought, wow,
This is Matty McGrath, Michael Collins from Independent Ireland, McGrath, and the two of the Sock Dems, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
hilarious.
I thought to myself,
yeah.
So if you were in a room or in a restaurant or wherever you may be, and you were talking about that particular subject, and people overheard your point of view.
Yeah.
Now, where do you stand?
Yeah, I heard the Sock Dem saying that Michael Collins should be ashamed of himself and all that kind of stuff.
And the Chief Whip turned around and said, no, enough of that, you know, behave yourselves.
People, it's that parliamentary language, is it? Yeah.
You know, and this kind of, you know, using his whip to both sides of the parties.
Okay, but generally speaking, you think that although that you don't agree with too much censorship, you do believe you have to be responsible for what you say and you should.
No, yeah. You have, yeah, because as far as when I always said it to my kids when they were growing up, and I think most parents did, you know, I'm responsible for you until you're 18 years of age. And when you become 18, then you're able to vote. You're becoming an adult. And your behaviour, your attitude, and how you behave yourself outside the family home, you are totally responsible. And I always said it to mine, if they ever got into trouble or they'd done something wrong, seriously, I'd personally take them to the fucking guard station myself.
Okay, well, stay there, because I just want to go to Bernie very quickly. Bernie, I'm going to wrap it up with you. I'm sorry for cutting everybody really short. Bernie, hi, how are you?
I'm grand and I.
Yeah, I do apologise, Bernie, for leaving you last and cutting you short.
Okay. I think that freedom of speech is important to each and every individual to have a say in what they think in within reason. I think you have to be respectful of other people's views as well. And I don't think there should be a bill stopping us from saying anything that we really feel anxious and really feels that it has to be said. Mm. And there shouldn't be a law brought in to stop you from saying things, because inadvertently, we all say things that we have to get off our chest, because everyone has a view, and somebody's view might be just as important as mine. And why shouldn't they be allowed to say it? Because through that, we get the answer to the question that we're all asking.
Mm.
You have to see it from all sides. Like, you can't just shut somebody down because their view is different to yours. You have to kind of listen and kind of work for where they came from with it.
Okay, but should I be allowed, for example, like J.K. Rowling, I keep using that as an example, should I be allowed to turn around to a transgender woman and say, yeah, you're a bloke, aren't you?
Well, if that's how you feel, why not?
Well, according to the legislation, there's a possibility that you could end up in court for saying something like that.
Well, I mean, if you're saying what you think is, would you believe to be the truth, what's wrong with that?
Hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why, if you see a person and you know they're transgender and you know they're a sex, of the person, that you know their identity, their true identity. I mean, if you're going to get caught out, you're going to call them he or she by mistake. Like, it's human nature.
Yeah, but if you're doing it intentionally, for example, as J.K. Rowling is doing it intentionally, do you believe that should be a prosecutable offence?
No, I would just tell the person, I would just say to her face, listen, I don't like that.
That's fine. And that's where it should end. Yeah, okay.
Yes, and it's up to her. It shouldn't be brought to court and into the public media. That should be, I don't like what you're calling me. And, you know, and she'll say, well, I have this reason because I don't believe. And that's fine. She's entitled to her opinion.
Okay. I agree. I believe she is entitled. Well, I don't think it's an opinion, by the way. If somebody's a man, they're a man. If somebody's a woman, it's a biological fact, by the way. I'm really interested to see what's going to happen on the 1st of April when they bring in this legislation in Scotland. And if J.K. Rowling is the first one to be charged with it, it'll be really interesting to see a person in court for calling a man a man.
But I mean, as I said to you many times, Niall, if you have a person in front of you who's dressed like a woman but is actually a man, and you have to treat that person, I treat them, of course I'm going to call them Mary or Catherine, but if they have something wrong with their undercarriage and it's male orientated, I'm going to have to say, really sorry, but your dick needs this cream.
That's the best way I've heard it put all day. Thank you, Bernie. Thank you, Margaret. Thank you, everybody. Some of the comments, by the way, coming in. Aaron says, hey, Niall, as Jordan Peterson says, the hate speech laws are compelled speech laws. You will be compelled to call someone by their preferred pronouns, gender, and if you refuse, you'll be prosecuted for hate speech. Just look at Canada. Antonio says, he suddenly found his voice after a decade of silence. If he wanted this, why didn't he resign from Fine Gael and become an independent and campaign for it? Linda says, this is talking about Michael Ring. Linda says, he's only saying that now, too little, too late. Cormac says it's more like he agrees with us, to be honest. Does it change anything? No. Shane says he voted for hate speech legislation. Bit late now, having buyer's remorse. He did, actually, yeah, because all of Fianna Gael did. I've got some of your voice notes here. Just let me play one or two of these just before we finish up as well. Loads of them. Whoop. For some reason, though, it's not playing for me. There you go. That's always the way things go, isn't it? Things just don't work according to plan. Sorry about that. I do apologise. Oh, there's why it's not working. Hang on.
As the hate speech, right? I wonder if there's anything going to be in it about sign language. Because isn't that part of communication as well? People that can't speak. So, like, that's another aspect of this hate speech policy. Is that going to come into effect? Because, like, that'd be actually part of behaviour, wouldn't it, as well? Mm-hmm. Picture having an argument, right?
Oh, we have had one already, go ahead.
No, let's hope these laws don't go through, because these laws are going to make people more frustrated. They're going to make people more frustrated and, you know, Eamon Ryan's frustration knowing that the electric shite is not going to work, and he knows that. But people are going to get more angry, more frustrated, and stuff is going to happen. It's a disgusting law. It's a nil hate speech law where you just can't say nothing. You can't talk to no one. You can't do this. You can't say that. You could be in trouble. Other podcasts could be in trouble. It's an absolutely disgusting law, and I just hope it doesn't get passed, because if it gets passed, unfortunately, stuff will happen. Cheers, pal.
All right, listen, unfortunately, that's all we've got time for. We have to wrap it up. We've gone way over time. Listen, thank you to everybody who got involved in the show today, in both shows today. We thank you. And please, please do support the show, by the way. Go to nileboylan.com. You can either donate there or subscribe. Remember, we rely on those subscriptions. It's coming towards the end of the month. The bills have to be paid. We don't make enough money at the moment to pay the bills, but we do appreciate all the subscriptions that we do get. If we could get a bit more, it would pay the bills. If we could get a bit more, we might actually get paid at some point. But in the meantime, we're just happy to pay the bills. And listen, thank you. Thank you, thank you to all those who subscribe and donate. Please go to the website and help us out to pay those bills. We really, really appreciate it. We shall talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.